Good afternoon, everyone. And to those of you that just sat through the Audit Finance Committee meeting, welcome back. I'd like to start by, Denise, do I need to read the governor's, this is not a public meeting, right? Do I still have to read the?
It is a public meeting.
All right, okay. All right, in accordance with state law regarding public meetings held via electronic equipment, this meeting will be recorded. The recording will be placed on the authority's website. There's no public comment on today's agenda, therefore members of the public will not be permitted to speak during the meeting, with the exception of CHIFA's authorities, the authorities, consultants, and professionals. And in accordance with the governor's executive order regarding public meetings held via teleconference or electronic equipment, board members and consultants and professionals must state their name and title before speaking. Votes must be taken by roll call unless the vote is unanimous. And in the event the meeting is interrupted due to technical difficulties, members and staff will receive an email or text advising whether, number one, the meeting is adjourned or canceled, or number two, the time the meeting will resume. You'd think by now I could do that by heart, but I still have to read it. Okay, I'd like to call the meeting to order, and just a quick explanation. Typically, Lawrence Davis would chair this meeting, but he had a family emergency come up, so he asked me yesterday if I would mind pinch hitting for him. So Lawrence will not be with us today, and I will be chairing the meeting. Let's start with a roll call of attendees, and I'll get my cheat sheet out. We will start with committee members. I'm Peter Lisi, obviously I'm present. Steve Elbaum.
Present, can you hear me?
Steve.
Great.
Susan Martin.
Present.
Thank you. Alan Matamana.
Present.
Thank you. Is Mike Angelini on?
Present.
Thank you. Daryl Hill? Daryl? No? Okay. Lawrence, I'll call his name for the record. I'm sure he's not on. Lawrence Davis? No. Kimberly Kennison? No. And Mark Vahalik? Okay. And staff, Jeanette Weldon?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you. Denise Aguilera?
Here.
Dan Junge? Dan? No, Dan. Dan Kurowski?
Dan Junge is present.
Dan, if that was you, we've got some terrible echoing on your audio. Dan Kurowski?
Yep, I'm here. Present.
Thank you. Joanne Makowitz.
Present.
Thank you. Michael Morris.
Present.
Thank you. Dave Pantaleo.
Present.
Thank you. Cynthia Peoples.
I'm here.
Thank you. Kara Stewart.
I'm here.
And thank you. And Betty Weintraub.
I'm here.
Thank you. All right. We have a full cast of characters. I'd like to begin by approving the minutes, from our January 19th meeting. I hope folks have taken a look at them, and I would entertain a motion to accept the minutes as presented.
Motion to accept the minutes.
Thank you, Steve. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. We've got a second. Motion is made and seconded to accept the minutes as presented from our January 19th meeting. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you very much. Okay, so with that, those items taken care of, we'll kind of get to the essence or the meat of the meeting, which is our fiscal 22 nonprofit grant review. And just as a little bit of a preamble, hopefully folks have taken a look at the booklet that was sent out and familiarize themselves with the proposals from staff. There is a little bit of a new grant process, and that we'll be trying out this cycle, and it was outlined in the memo in the grant package. essentially, through discussions with Betty, Lawrence, Jeanette, and myself, we had some discussions about the process and how to garner some increased board engagement, I guess, if you will, or discussion with regard to the grants that the grant applications and the grants that we make. We are very fortunate to have a terrific grant manager in Betty Weintraub, and the Internal Review Committee does a great job, but we need to remember that ultimately the decisions on what organizations that we award grants to lies with the board, and that responsibility before it gets to the board lies with this committee. So again, the Internal Review Committee led by Betty does a wonderful job. It's a very thorough review, but we need to recognize that the ultimate responsibility of the grants that are made are our decision. So with that, as a little bit of a preamble, if people can pull out their the binder or the book that was sent out to us, and I will draw your attention to tab number 2. And under tab number 2 are the applications for grants for this cycle. On page 18 of that booklet, under tab 2, there's a host of applications that are highlighted in a yellowish orange color, going about two-thirds of the way down that page. And then it turns to white, then you flip over to pages 19 and 20. And on page 20, there are a group of applications that can best be described as in an orange color. So what we would like to do today is perhaps, you know, get people's consent for those in the yellow category on page 18, because on those, they were all unanimously recommended by the Internal Review Committee for funding. On page 20, the ones in the orange, those were, for lack of better way to say it, were unanimously declined for funding. So really, unless someone has an objection or has a very strong feeling about one of the organizations or the grant applications in the orange category on page 20, I think we'll try to focus our discussion on those in the yellow category and the white category on pages 18 and 19. And again, well, I should back up and say that on those two categories, the criteria that was used and we should keep in mind is the project need, the target population, likelihood of success, diversity, equity, and inclusion, innovation, and the organizational, financial, and managerial strength. Those are the criteria that the Internal Review Committee used and that we would be encouraged to consider also if there's questions on any of these recommendations. So with that as a very broad brush intro, before we start the review of these selections, of these applications, I would ask if there's any questions about the process or how we would like to move this going forward. Does anyone have any questions or comments?
So Peter, I just like one clarification I'd just like to make. And as far as the yellow shaded and the orange shaded, those are the yellow shaded is the higher rated group, not recommended, but higher rated group. And the orange shaded is the lower rated group. So I just wanted to make that minor clarification.
Okay. So
Peter, just one comment. First of all, as a new board member, relatively new board member, I want to say that I really appreciate the work of staff to solicit the board members' input. It was made very easy for all of us, and it was a good way to kind of bring out the to get the board's input before selections were made. I thought it was efficient and helpful, and the package was really well done that we all got. So thank you very much for the time that was put into that.
Well, thanks for the comment. Betty and the Internal Review Committee have always done a terrific job with this aspect of Chief's business. But it's also been our desire to find ways that the board can be even more engaged in terms of making these awards and the whole grant process. So little by little, I think we're getting there. And I think what we've come up with here is a big step in the right direction. So having said that, I'm not sure if people have hopefully they've got the material close by, but I think a way to start would be looking at page 18 and that group in the yellowish color. Those were the highest rated, as Betty said. And I would open it up. Does anyone have any particular questions, thoughts, comments, or concerns about any of those in the yellow category? And just before we do that, a reminder, we have just over $1 million to award. Actually, it's $1,008,090. And if everything in the yellow gets approved, as you'll see on page 18, that's almost 700,000. So we would have about 300,000 to disperse amongst that next category, if we were to approve everything in the yellow. So with that, I would open it up or entertain any thoughts, questions, comments, opinions on anything in the highest rated category, which is on page 18 in the all highlighted in yellow.
Peter, Alan here, just yep. A question. You know, looking at the names in yellow, we see, you know, childcare, healthcare, and education represented, but nothing under the cultural category. Mm-hmm. So just curious if that was a reflection of the, you know, the field of applications that we received, or is there something in the valuation that naturally lends itself to other categories? I'm curious about that.
I think it's the former rather than the latter, but I'll let Betty take a shot at that.
Alan, thank you for that question. It's just how the ratings came out when they were aggregated. So we did not have a discussion prior. We aggregated our scores and we saw how things came out. So, but you're absolutely right as far as noticing that that there were not any in the cultural group. As far as in the white group, that is the second group that's not shaded, there are some in that group there. And if you were to look as well in the orange group, there are some there as well. In addition, I'll just point out that under tab five is the list of all of the LOIs that we received, and there were cultural in there.
Thank you. Thanks, Alan. Thank you, Betty. Does anyone have any comments? I mean, I have one on one of the organizations in the highest rated category, but I certainly welcome other thoughts, comments by anyone else. Anyone? Okay. I would put out there the second awardee, a potential awardee from the top, the American National Red Cross. It's certainly a wonderful organization, does a lot of wonderful things. I think what they are seeking money for is it's all good. I guess my feeling is that an organization like that perhaps has some resources at the national level, which they might be able to draw on. And when I think of our grant programs, I like to think of them as having more immediate local need. I understand the impact of this grant would be local, but I'm just thinking that there are others, perhaps smaller organizations that might not have the national resources, the national presence to pull on for financial support. So, given that our given the asks far exceed what we have to give out. Personally, I'm not sure that that $75,000 for the American Red Cross, and again, it's a great organization. It's nothing about them. It's more of the thinking that they would have many other resources to draw on to support them. Perhaps I would like to perhaps see that money utilized for other more smaller homegrown organizations. I would just put that out there for the committee.
Peter, do you know that they have other national resources, or is that an assumption because they're a national organization? I'm not sure if they're operated independently, state by state.
Clearly just an assumption on my behalf. They might not be. I just think of them as national, with other fundraising and other ways to get resources to support their needs at the local level. That may be erroneous. I don't know. It's just what I'm thinking and feeling as I saw that $75,000.
So it interesting. So that drew my attention too. I don't know that they have those resources. I was thinking something along those lines. But one of the things that drew my attention was the number of individuals they serve seems really outsized compared to the others, because it's in this case, I assume this is because it's going to be have statewide effect rather, and that the rest of the programs, I think, pretty consistently are much more local or regionalized. And I wonder if someone from the committee could comment on both of those comments, the ability for additional resources and then the ability to sort of make an impact to a larger group that this organization might have versus others on the yellow list, let's say.
I'll just say one thing on the population served number, the 3,565,000. To me, that's awfully close to the total population of the state of Connecticut. I think they dropped that number in saying they're serving the whole state. Similarly, at the bottom of page 19 for Mark Twain, they're looking for money for a bathroom for handicap accessible. They've got their population served at 70,000. Well, I think that's 70,000 people that go through the Mark Twain House every year. It's not 70,000 that are going to benefit from a handicap accessible bathroom. So the population served, I think, we all need to scrutinize it a little bit. So
Peter, you're absolutely right that sometimes those numbers are hard to determine because they're talking about total populations versus versus a segment of the population. And with the storage of blood products, I think they're talking about the fact that blood products are separated into three. They're separated into red cells, plasma, and platelets. And so once you start breaking down, and then patients are receiving various products. So I think that's where they were going to with those large numbers there. As far as receiving national funding, they did not indicate anything about that. And that's not an assumption that we can make as a committee or as an internal review committee. That's not a determination. Each region of the blood services operates and has its own, receives its own funding. So the Connecticut region supports the hospitals in Connecticut.
Does any committee member have any other thoughts on any of the potential awardees in the first group? And again, just bearing in mind, if we award everything that is presented there, it will leave us about $300,000 for the next group. And that next group has a need of about twice that. So.
Peter, since I'm just wondering, do you want to bring that to a committee votes and on that American Red Cross. I'm just wondering, I mean, since there was concern, so.
Well,
concerns on the others, but I just want to be mindful of getting the committee decision.
No, I appreciate that. I mean, it would be a concern of mine. And very honestly, I wouldn't vote for it, but it, you know, if others don't share my concern, I'm happy to, I would include it. I mean, it's a very fine organization. It's not one that I would fund, but you know, this is a group decision. So unless others have feeling similar to mine or about another one in this orange group, then I think the decision we can move it forward. But again, I don't want anyone to feel rushed. These are big decisions. These are important awards to these organizations. So as you have reviewed this material prior to the meeting, and as you scan down the list right now, are there any questions, concerns, thoughts, comments on any of those in the orange category that were the highly rated ones by the internal review committee?
I'm Peter, just wanted to mention, those are the yellow, that was the yellow shaded, the orange shaded is the lowest rated group.
Yellow shaded.
The yellow shaded is the group.
Right, that, on page 18.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts, comments? All right, well, I would entertain a motion to accept staff's recommendation to fund the organizations in the yellow category on page 18, totaling $697,724. Is there a motion?
Peter, you can also choose to review all of that at the end of the meeting. You can just move this group forward as highly rated and then you can move on. It's up to you if you want to be able to have flexibility if there are additional grants in that middle group. It's entirely up to what you want to do. It gives you more flexibility if you vote out at the end. So I just
bring it would give us flexibility, but in the interest of, you know, getting some closure on certain ones, these on page 18, as we've said, are the highest rated ones. And unless there's a committee member that would like to take a very hard look at any of them, like I did with the American Red Cross, to me, in essence, the committee's comfortable with moving these forward. Are there any comments or questions? Would someone like to make a motion to accept the staff's recommendation for that most highly rated category?
Peter, I'll make a motion. Sue Martin.
Thank you, Susan. Is there a second?
Alan, I'll second.
All right. So we have a motion made, seconded. Is there any further discussion?
Betty, I was just wondering about your comment. I mean, do you mean to say that maybe we should hold off until to be able to, let's say, take from some of the yellow and apply it to some of the white? If we end up doing that, and give us more flexibility at that time in case we feel like we either want to, you know, up some of the numbers and some of the with some of the white ones or spread more wealth, so to speak.
I think that is the reason why. So if you look back at some of them, you may say, well, we've got, you know, X amount from the white group that we would like to fund. We don't have enough dollars, so we could potentially, and it's the right of the grant committee to award, as we note on the RFP, to award less than what was requested. So it gives you that flexibility.
If people would like that flexibility, we can certainly do it that way. Steve, would that be your preference?
I'm just thinking out loud here. Look, I think the staff's done a really thorough job. I don't see us, you know, taking 5,000 here and putting 5,000 there and really getting into weeds. So there probably isn't a need for that.
I certainly understand the benefit of flexibility, but I agree with what you just said. Unless someone has a glaring issue with one of the ones in the top rated category, it would be nice to get some closure there and know that we've awarded those, and then moving on to where we, to the next category, where we may have to make some adjustments in the award levels. But again, this is a committee decision. I'd be happy to, there's a motion to be made. Motion was made and seconded to accept the recommendations for the highly rated ones. But if people would like the flexibility of swapping money between the two categories, that would be fine as well. So does anyone have an opinion on that?
I'm fine going ahead with the motion as made.
Okay. Anyone else? So the motion's been made, seconded. Unless there's further discussion, I'll take a vote, and it is for funding as presented, those organizations and grant applications on page 18 in the highest rated category, totaling $697,724. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Are there any abstentions? Okay, motion carries. First item, first group has been awarded. So now moving on to the middle category.
Hey, Peter.
Yes.
This is Dan. Just to let you know, I am running a tally for the boards, so you guys know the current balance, the remaining funds are.
Okay.
You currently have $310,366.
Right.
So just let me know and I can add the numbers for you.
Yep. Okay. That's the same remaining balance I had, Dan. So I'm glad that we're in agreement on that. So we have $310,000 remaining, and I believe we have almost, more than double that in asks in that second category. So our task really is to identify in the second category, $310,000 to award out of asks totaling $670,000. So, I think hopefully we've all reviewed and taken a look at the material and the staff rankings. Does anyone have any particular, anyone stand out to any committee member in terms of ones that they would advocate very aggressively for, or those that they feel would not be on their list? And again, bear in mind that we're essentially over budget, if you will, by 100%. We've got to cut $670,000 down to $310,000.
In the interest of rough justice, which I don't know is a good thing, but Dan, what's the total of the ones that number six in the white? Or if it's easier, the total of the ones that number seven?
About 700,000, right?
Yeah. So
subtotal is 1.4.
Sorry.
No.
All of our kin through.
No. If you were to separate out the six and the seven, how much is?
For the list of all of our kin through United Way of Western Connecticut, which should be all of the number sevens.
Right.
It's 960. That's not right. Why?
Well, what's the subtotal? The 1.4. Is that just the white, or is that the white plus the yellow?
Yeah, it's 964,000.
The number sevens and the white, a total 964.
Yeah, it was 16 applications.
That doesn't seem right.
But you're only asking for the number seven. So anything that ranked below United Way of Western Connecticut.
Correct.
Excluded.
Yeah. I mean, I just thought it'd be, I make math mistakes too quickly, but you know,
so the ones below that are 360,000. So it's about $1 million.
Okay.
So probably the 900,000 was
964. Okay. So, I mean, if, you know, look, I know these numbers are relatively arbitrary, but I'm just trying to think, you know, how do we spread $300,000 across all, you know, very good candidates here? And I thought, okay, let's look at the top half or the ones that are ranked higher.
Yeah, I would agree, Steve. I mean, I think you could an initial cut, you could just take the ones six, all the sixes, and take them out of the thought process. Betty's already shaking her head. What's wrong, Betty?
So the original plan was to open up on each of the grants in the white category to open up for just a discussion. You know, so I would just give a two sentence discussion and then it would open up for the committee to talk about them so that you could get a sense on, you know, are we in agreement on this one or not, rather than just looking at this group because they all ranked in at least getting at least one high rating, right? So the numbers are not as relevant as the fact that they received one high rating. So that was what the plan was, at least with my understanding going into the meeting, but I'm not sure if you want to do it differently.
No, if you want to go ahead and give your two sentence review, that would be fine.
I think that would be, sorry, Peter, I think that would be a great idea because look, I the materials are voluminous, but to the extent that we can all refresh our recollection as to what each of these stands for, I think would be really helpful.
Go ahead, Betty.
Okay, so we start on page 71 and it's all our kin. It's the provider showcase. They're asking for $45,000. And it is enhancing the quality of family childcare. It's a 10-month, 120-hour program focused on quality, availability, and sustainability of childcare, specifically program focused on training and licensing family childcare providers. So if anybody wants to, you know, start out in a conversation on that one. Up to you. Turn it to you, Peter.
Sorry?
I'll turn it to you to, you know, manage a discussion if somebody wants to kick off a conversation on that one.
Well, unless I would go through it fairly quickly, and if people have a question or comment, they'll jump in. I was looking at the, you know, the pros and cons that you've listed on the sheet under tab two. So I'm comfortable just going forward and having you give your quick review. And if people have a question on a particular organization, they can jump in.
So it's mainly more for discussion of the grant committee. It's not for, you know, necessarily questions to me. It's more focused on the grant committee having a discussion.
Right.
Between themselves. Yeah.
So if someone has a question or comment after hearing your summary, we can discuss it.
I'll just ask a question. What area of the state is this in? Do you know?
Yes, it is in Fairfield County. It's in New Haven County, Fairfield County. And that's primarily the focus area.
Thank you.
Did you want to move on to APEX?
I'm sure I, you know, unless you want to like get a sense from the committee if this is something that there's consensus to move forward or put into a high group or a medium or a low group, depending on.
I think it would be helpful if we did the quick review of all of them and let people ask some questions if they have them, and then we get to the end and see where the priority or the preference is for funding.
Okay. So APEX is asking us for $75,000 for renovations to their new Danbury facility. They're looking for 4 windows and HVAC system. They support services for people living with AIDS and mental health and addiction.
Any questions? All right.
Okay, the following grant is on the Connecticut Junior Republic, and they're coming to us for $75,000. It's a work-based after-school program for at-risk Waterbury youth. It is 4 7-week sessions. There are 80 students focused on focused on at-risk youth, so teen pregnancy reduction and risk reduction, and it's culinary and video media production.
Any questions? Betty, I have a question on this one. In the summary, it says half the grant is for stipends at below minimum wage, lower impact. What does that mean?
So that was from one of the committee members. So when we put our thoughts together and pros and cons, that was considered to be one of the cons of this one by one of the members of the committee.
I understand that, but when they say whoever said it, half the grant is for stipends. Stipends to who? Because I got the idea that this was a
To the youth
program for
to the youth that are, so it's a training. It's like a workforce pre-training kind of program. So they're getting stipends.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They're getting stipends for being in this. It's like a workforce readiness program for youth.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. The next grant is for Gilead Community Services. They're asking us for $75,000 for a new roof for their Farrell Treatment Center, which is a substance abuse treatment facility in New Britain, serving over 1,000 individuals.
If you're looking for comments, I know Gilead is a highly utilized service in Middlesex County. I didn't know where the Farrell Center is, but it certainly, I know, is a valuable resource in our county. I'm sure it is in New Britain as well.
Okay.
The next.
Betty, I'm just kind of curious on those. Something like Gilead and the Farrell Treatment Center. I'm curious, is that a residential facility or not? You know?
Let me just look back at the request. It's residential and outpatient.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Yep. The next request is the Hartford Gay and Lesbian Health Collective. This is a, they're coming to us for $75,000 for a relocation and build out. They've been 30 years in one location, their current site has been sold and it's going to be converted to apartments and retail. So they're looking at building out a new location on Maple Avenue in Hartford, ready to relocate by late 2022, early 2023. They serve approximately 800 clients.
Questions? Betty, I would have a question on this one, and that is in the pros and cons. It said there's a question about them being able to secure the property for the location. What would happen if we made the award and then they were not able to secure the property? Or would we ask them to hold the money in escrow? I mean, how would we handle that?
So in a case like that, and in an organization like this that has to move because their building's been sold, if they came to us for a different location, they would need to fill out a modification request on their grant. So we have a modification process if there have been any changes to what was funded. Okay. And so that they would need to come to us for that.
Okay.
The next organization is Intempo, and they're coming to us for $70,000 for after-school music education and creative youth development program for underserved kids between the ages of 3 to 17. They have a 32 weeks of programming for 120 kids in Fairfield County. It's a 10-year-old program serving largely immigrant youth.
Betty, I had a question here. You know, I read through the description, and it seemed to me you could make the case that this would fall under cultural as much as it would childcare. The use of proceeds to hire, artistic teachers. It's culturally relevant music programs. I raised that because this is one just from, I don't know the organization, but the description I really liked. And if the committee decided to put this in, it would be nice to have at least one of the, call it 15 to 20 grants that we fund in the cultural bucket. So those are my comments.
I'm sure. And Alan, to your point, we ask the organizations to kind of self-identify which sector they fall into. And there are some that do fall into more than one. We're actually looking at potentially revising the application in the future to allow them to check more than one box. So that they can do exactly what you're saying here, which is that, yes, this is for music education, but because it's an after-school program, we put before and after-school programs within the child care bucket. And so, yeah, to your point, it's a good point. Yeah. And there are other cultural, as far as there are cultural organizations that will be discussed in as we're going through. So the next one is for Jumpstart for young children. They're coming to us for $50,000 to support their program for preschool literacy and teacher professional development. 600 low-income preschool preschoolers from different sites throughout the state. It's a dual early literacy and teacher workforce for 215 college core members who work in the classrooms. They serve 200 to 300 hours in classrooms and focused on a national curriculum. Next request is for Kids Play Children's Museum. They're coming to us for $70,000 for a plan to support accessibility, wheelchair lift for their literacy treehouse exhibit, and an accessible ramp to the club house from in the rear exit. The next request is from LEAP, or Leadership Education and Athletics in Partnership. It's a $75,000 request for a growth and expansion of their programs. They're looking at adding two sites in New Haven from 6 to 8 sites, It's a comprehensive after-school program running 4 days a week, 3 hours per day. And in the summer, a six-week program. They serve between 1,000 and 1,400 youth. It's leadership training. So there's counselors, like CITs, and then they have 250 high school and college youth hired. They serve between 7 and 24 year olds. The next request is from Malta House of Care. And that is a $75,000 request. It's a 16-year program, advancing access to primary health care for uninsured adults with a mobile van that goes around to different sites in the Hartford area. They serve about 2,200 patients 4 days a week with clinical operations.
Betty, this is Peter. On that, you know, I've stayed on tab two where you list pros and cons. And for Malta House, there's pros, but there's no cons. So if there's no cons, does that mean that people felt there was nothing like glaringly wrong with the application, but it wasn't overly compelling either? Is that why?
Not really. There was conversation, you know, there was conversation about this one.
But there's several where there's pros, but no cons.
Right.
And I'm just wondering that if there was no cons listed, then in theory, they would be in the higher rated category, but they're not. So does that mean it was just kind of an average application? There was nothing really compelling or?
No, it doesn't mean that. It just means that that was the conversation that the internal review committee had. The internal review committee did not have pros and cons on each. In the commentary, sometimes it was just pros. So it does not reflect that there was a feeling one way or the other as far as, oh, well, we have to come up with a con. It means that there were no cons that rose to the surface as far as writing them down for this particular ask. I'm not sure if I answered your question or not.
That column is a little bit, you know, we sort of phrased it with the committee as, you know, pros, cons, considerations, you know, so comments. So it was really whatever they wanted to say. So in this particular instance, I suppose, you know, maybe it would have been simplified if we didn't put the word pros there and just said high impact, entity. But that was really the only comment that was made in regard to this.
Okay.
The next is the New Britain Institute or New Britain Youth Museum. They're coming to us for $10,000 for environmental, cultural, and art-based programs in the community at the Youth Museum and the Hungerford Nature Center, primarily focused on children. They're looking for a part-time environmental educator. For New Haven Promise, they're coming to us for $30,000. It's a year-round career preparation, a career pathway and civic launch program. It's a 12-year-old program. It's college first and then career. There's 400 scholars, there's 200 summer internships that are paid and 50 full-time entry-level jobs. So this is focused on career readiness and having internships and jobs once they leave college.
Any questions? Betty, I just have a quick question. In the highly rated category, there's a Hartford Promise. In this category, there's a New Haven Promise. Is there a statewide organization of Promise organizations throughout the state, or are these completely independent of one another?
They're independent. There are Promise programs throughout the country. And they are all similarly focused. They're focused on youth getting a certain GPA and funding of being available for them to move forward from community partners to move forward and go into college. Those are promised programs. So they do run all over the country, but these two are separate entities from one another.
Right, but is there like an overall, like a Connecticut Promise, and then they have these subsidiaries like Hartford Promise, New Haven Promise? No, they're totally independent of one another.
Correct. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. And then the next request is an organization called SARA, and they're coming to us for $60,845. It's to develop a staff training program to support and treat children with autism. It's a train the trainer program for 40 staff. And it's in-house training for other staff members to be trained to become proficient in autism evaluation. Connecticut Forum is coming to us for the Youth Forum, which is their high school program. They're coming to us for $75,000, and it's a high school program focused on bringing diverse students from 30 school districts together and for meaningful conversations and programming. It's program management. They're coming to us for program management and support. The Riverfront Children's Center is coming to us for $28,964 for kitchen renovations for a large early childhood education center serving low-income children in southeastern Connecticut. Serves 125 children for kitchen repairs. United Way of Western Connecticut is coming to us for $75,000 for expansion of their family child care or home daycare settings for licensure and professional training and expansion of additional family child care sites in the Danbury area. The 4-H Education Center at Our Farm is coming to us for $75,000 for their Growing Opportunities Career and Educational Development Program, focused on 1,500 special needs high school youth, giving them career opportunities. It's for staff salaries, building expenses, and administration.
So just one quick question about that one. So does that program exist? And our contribution would just affect the number of people it can serve?
So
it looks like it's, we're about a quarter of the budget for the program.
So it's an expansion of the program to serve more youth. You're gonna, for Farmington, West Hartford, Bloomfield. So they're coming to us for the program expansion.
Okay.
They list other funders that support the program and their budget. The Community Partners in Action is coming to us for $75,000. This is focused on transportation, purchasing of two vans for the reentry population to get to work. So it is for Hartford and Waterbury. It's for job training, interviewing, and securing jobs.
Betty, this is Peter.
Yeah.
When we say re-entry workforce, is that just for people who are currently out of work? And I'm sorry, it probably shows my bias, but when I think of re-entry into the workforce, basically I think of folks that perhaps have been incarcerated and are re-entering the workforce. How are we defining re-entry? Who is that serving?
Yes, formerly incarcerated. Exactly. Okay. Yes, exactly right, Peter. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep. The next request is for CRIS Radio, our Connecticut Radio Information System. They're coming to us for $75,000 for audio access for people who are blind or print challenged. Audio versions of children's magazines, classroom materials, books. They have partnerships with schools, libraries, camps, hospitals, and after-school programs. Next request is Literacy Volunteers of Greater Hartford. They're coming to us for $15,000. It's a career pathways program for people who are English as a second language. 125 individuals focused on employment readiness. They run 3 14-week terms and 1 7-week summer term. Funds support classroom texts, materials, transportation to get to class, exams, and licensing fees. Next request is the Regional Hospice and Home Care of Western Connecticut. They're coming to us for medical equipment and security upgrades, vital signs machine. They're coming to us for $75,000 for vital signs machine, bladder scanner, vein finder, and security for 250 patients. Next is the Mark Twain House, and this is for $45,680. They're coming to us for a handicap accessible bathroom in their carriage house. And lastly is the Young Men's, the YMCA of Northern Middlesex County. They're coming to us for a collaborative program called the Opportunity Knox Mental Health Consultation. It's mental health consultant. They're coming to us for $49,000 for clinical supervisor for young children. The focus of the program is to keep young children in preschool classrooms and not have any expulsions. This is focused on behavioral health, addressing disruptive behaviors. The Y is a full partner in that they have a daycare center, but also a fiscal agent. And that's the that's all of the white group.
Okay, thank you, Betty.
Yep.
So we've had the quick summary by Betty for each organization in the middle category. We've gotten the written material, we've gotten the recommendations on pages 18 through 20. Now comes time to make some decisions in terms of whittling this down. And Dan, what was the number again that you said that represented the sixes on this sheet? Was it about 400,000?
It's $409,680.
Okay. So I'm certainly open to a discussion, a vigorous discussion, if anyone has thoughts on any particular one. But I guess to start, I might put out there, and I'm not wedded to this, but I would put out there as an idea as to following up on Steve's suggestion. Unless someone feels very strongly and would like to advocate on the behalf of one of the organizations that are a six, if we, again, it's somewhat arbitrary, but if we eliminated those, that would eliminate $400,000 in asks, if you will. So I guess I would start by putting it out there. Is there any organization that was rated that had the six on pages 19 and 20 that someone would like to advocate on behalf of? Steve, you're muted.
Probably a good thing. Peter, what about looking at it through the other end of the telescope? And I know I made that proposal earlier and say, what if of all the ones that are in white, the sixes and the sevens, if there are maybe ones that people feel strongly or otherwise about that they don't want to see on the list, and we narrow the list that way. I mean, there may not be any. And then take a slightly different approach to the extent we can, you know, sort of sprinkle partial funding through all of the ones in white that are left. And the reason I mention that is, you know, after listening to these and sort of reading along at the applications, it's really hard to say no. Maybe I'm just not good at this, but it's really hard to say no to these. You know, maybe we can, where appropriate, do some partial funding. I mean, there's some where you look at it and they're asking for, money to buy two vans, and two vans are going to cost this much. And if we partially fund them, you know, will they be able to buy one van or no vans? And is that just not make sense? But for the most part, a lot of these appear to be we're paying a percentage of the budget, and maybe we, you know, hopefully they can get the rest of the percentage of the budget from elsewhere. I don't know. I'm just trying to look at it a different way to spread the wealth, so to speak.
Absolutely. I mean, there's certainly a lot of merit to that approach. I guess I would just have one question to Betty, and that is, how do you feel about the partial funding that we would be considering under Steve's proposal? I know that in the past, sometimes the Internal Review Committee has been reluctant to do partial funding because then that leaves open the question of where do they secure the rest of the money for that particular program. I mean, a capital project, like the example Steve just gave us, it's easy. If they're requesting money for two vans, maybe they can get by with just one. But if it's a programmatic grant, sometimes it's difficult to secure the additional funding. But could you weigh in on this principle?
Yeah.
That we're
Yeah, I'd be happy to. As I noted in the memo, when an organization comes to us for a program grant, oftentimes they're coming to us for the highest amount. However, we give some of the biggest grants for many philanthropic organizations. So if an organization comes to us for $75,000 and they get $50,000, that's still a very good grant. If it's a program grant, it's much easier to do a partial funding than if it was for an HVAC system. But to your point and to Alan's point about one van versus two, absolutely. Absolutely, that's something that you can do. You can say, we're going to provide you funding for one of the vans, but we can't provide for both of the vans. And that's that's why we write it on the RFP, that it's our discretion to award less. And oftentimes, like I said, organizations will look at what we give out and they'll say, well, we're going to come to them for as much as we can ask for, expecting that they might get less, because we put it in the RFP that we can award less. And this allows for more organizations to get funded.
Mm-hmm. Betty, do you know, are there any on this list that came to us last year and previous years for the same thing that we didn't award, that we might want to give them priority? I guess you could do it either way, give everybody a little less, or, you know, the ones that don't get it this year, give them a little priority for next year, especially if it's for like a capital type of thing, like they can't do the handicap bathroom without having full funding, but maybe we just give it to them next year.
So if we look at some of the on this list, organizations that have come to us in the past that haven't received anything, Oral Our Kin is one of those. Connecticut Junior Republic is one of those. I want to look through the list here to see. Organizations that have come to us that haven't received anything in the past. And I just want to point out that the Mark Twain House, as far as that bathroom goes, they did receive funding for that bathroom back in 2019. But when the pandemic hit, we allowed any of the 2020 and 2019 organizations to change their request to general operating support if they felt that that was going to be beneficial to the organization. And the Mark Twain House did choose to do that because they had no operating expenses from their revenues, are usually from people coming to visit the museum. So they chose to do that. But those are the ones that jump off the page at to me as having come to us in the past, but not having received funding.
Okay, thank you.
And each of them do, each of the entries does list previous requests. We did include that in the packet.
It sounds like we, if I might just say, Peter, it sounds like we have a process question. You know, this is going to be precisely imperfect no matter how we do it, but we have, you know, it's a multivariate problem. We have to pick a handful of these, but not just pick them, make sure that the dollar amounts get to kind of, I guess it's 300 or so thousand that's left. So one approach might be, and I'm suspecting that we all might have one or two or three that we all really like together. And so maybe if we, and this is just a suggestion, if we went through the ones that are ranked seven and just, you know, did a hands up saying, yeah, that really resonated with me, and we just kept a tally, you know, maybe at the end of it, we say, look, you know, we all gravitated to at least a handful to help chip away at this, because I agree with Steve's earlier comment. It's hard to say no to these. I think it's easier to say this one really stood out because it was compelling on the merits. Mm-hmm.
You know, great idea. Just speaking for myself, a lot of them sound very compelling to me. You know, it's just a tough, I mean, it's very subjective. And again, I go back to, you know, Steve's initial recommendation. I know it's a very, very blunt instrument, but it would, by eliminating the sixes, it narrows the pool that we would need to focus on. But if we want to take all of them under consideration and find a way to whittle it down to, you know, a little over 300,000, I'm happy to do that. Really, there's no hard and fast rules here. And very honestly, I don't think there's any wrong decisions either. They're all very worthy organizations. So, but you're absolutely right, Alan. I think there's a process question here. So just in terms of the time and moving this along, are there any in this category that people feel particularly strong about or particularly, for lack of a better word, negative about? And the rest of the committee can react to those comments. Is there any on here in the middle category that people feel very strong about? Anyone feels quite strong about?
I'll just restate again, only because I'm familiar with them. I know that Gilead
has
a lot of really good work in Middlesex County.
Okay.
Have a lot of knowledge of a lot of the other ones on here, so that's my only comment.
All right. So,
and they do. It does say they're going to serve quite a few people. It's over 1,075.
Mm-hmm. Right. Let me ask you this about Gilead's probably a good example. You know, I struggle with the programmatic versus the capital spend. I can't remember which one, but it was, you know, when I first looked at it, it was lighting and security. And I thought, okay, you know, I'd much rather help people, but then it conveyed the sense that it was in a very bad neighborhood and therefore lighting and security were essential to the services it provides. And, you know, Gilead is the same thing with the roof. You know, obviously you need a roof over your head to provide services, but I struggle with the, you know, putting money in capital versus putting money in programs. And part of the struggle, maybe incorrectly, is that I feel like it's not going as directly to the people if we're putting it in capital. I don't know. It's kind of arbitrary, I suppose, because some of the capital you really need to operate things.
Yeah, I was going to say the one number one need that we always come up with is a roof over somebody's head. And that eliminates a lot of the other needs and issues in communities. If there's a roof over their head, they have a chance, you know, people have a greater chance of success in life and certainly health conditions. So, yeah, that's just what I know from the industry I work in.
So just in the being mindful of time, I'm just wondering if we just potentially just go through this list of grants and people just raise their hand if they think it should get funded or not. And we can just tick through the whole list and maybe do that very quickly. I'm just thinking about the fact that we have to have a conversation about our targeted grant priorities and we have 15 minutes. So it might just be that we just, you know, start out with all our kin, all in favor, you know, or, you know, and then we do it. And we do, you know, there might be folks that just don't, you know, feel like that one should get funded or whatever, or everybody does feel like, and then we know what our universe is of what we're looking at.
Yeah, except Betty, my concern with that is that we're all going to say yes until we run out of money.
Yeah, right.
No, it shouldn't be based on that. It could be based on, because the reality is that you could, you can award partial, right? So if a you know, a program comes to us for 75, we could award less. So it's not based on that. It's really based on somebody may not feel like a roof is something that's really compelling. So they may want not vote for that one. I don't know. I'm just trying to come up with the potential for moving this forward rapidly. And I just think that might be the way to rapidly move forward.
Yeah, I fully support the idea of getting this moving because we will run out of time. But I guess in essence, that's what I was asking for. Is there any on here that people feel particularly strong about or particularly negative about? Now, I heard Susan talk about Gilead. Are there any others? Or are there any others that people feel that we could or should take off the list? Well, go ahead, Betty. You were going to say something?
It's kind of large as a group. It's very large to do that as a group. It's easier to do it one by one, just in my estimation and how in my experience in the past. Okay. Liberty Bank Foundation, we did a consent agenda and then we went through one by one and it was yay or nay. And then there was discussion and that was how it went. And it went, you know, and it went very quickly.
Okay.
So I would, you know, I mean, I can just list them off and then people can just vote and then we can just move forward in that way. So we can just start with all our kin. And whether there's, you know, with, and people can say yay or nay, and we can take a, you know, and we can take a vote on all of them.
If you're asking for yay or nay on all our kin,
yeah.
I'd say yes.
So
again, to Steve's point, I think a lot of them are gonna get yeses.
I don't know if you want to raise your hand for, you know, for yes. Okay, so we have, is that three yeses? Okay, and then Apex. We've got, is that two yeses? Okay.
I'm kind of, this is another capital one where it's, I think, part of a big hospital. And sorry, Susan, but I don't feel as compelled on this one.
So was that Apex? Apex?
Yes.
Okay. So was that just one yes on that one? I want to just make sure I'm writing it down correctly. But is there on Apex, is there one yes for that? Okay, that's what I'm gonna write down. So on Connecticut Junior Republic, I see one hand for two, three. Okay, so we've got three on that one. Three yes.
Thank you. I think it's four.
Oh, it's four. Okay, sorry about that. And Gilead. And so I see one, I see three. Okay. And Hartford Gay and Lesbian Health Collective. And four hands on that one. Yay. One, two. Did I see two?
Two, yeah.
Okay, two for Hartford Gay and Lesbian. In Tempo. One, two, three.
You need this left brain stuff.
Okay, three for In Tempo. Then for Jumpstart. One, two. Two for Jumpstart. Okay, and then we have we've got Kids Play. How many hands on for Kids Play? None? Okay.
I was a little concerned about this considering the comment about the financial concerns. So sorry, just
okay.
Forget the editorial comment. Yep. My hand is not raised.
Okay. And then LEAP or Leadership, Education, Athletics, and Partnership. I see one, two, three. Three for LEAP. Is that four? Was that four? Sorry. Okay, four. And then for Malta House, hands for Malta House, one, two. Okay, I see two for Malta House. And then for New Britain Institute, New Britain Youth Museum, I see one. Okay, one from, and then I see for New Haven Promise. New Haven Promise, one, two. Two for New Haven Promise. And then for Sarah, two, okay. And then Connecticut Forum, Youth Forum, one, okay. And then Riverfront Children's, I see one, two, okay. And then United Way of Western Connecticut. I see one, two, two for United Way of Western Connecticut. Then 4-H, Our Farm, one. Okay, one for 4-H. Community Partners in Action, one, two, three. Okay, we got three for that one. Then we've got Connecticut Radio Information Systems, two. Okay, then we've got Literacy Volunteers of Greater Hartford, Career Pathways, Literacy, one. Do I, Peter, I can't tell if your hand is up.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. And then we've got Regional Hospice and Home Care of Western Connecticut. Any hands on that one? None, okay. Mark Twain Memorial. Any hands on that one? None. And then the YMCA Opportunity Knox Program, one, two. Two on, okay. So it appears that we've got, Dan, I think you're probably keeping track of this. It looks like we've got one, two, three, four, five, six. Looks like we've got six that are rated either a four or a three. All our kit.
So I have, sorry. So I have all of our kin, Connecticut Junior Republic, Gilead Community Services, In Tempo, Leadership, Education, Athletics, and Partnership, New Britain Institute.
Wait a second, New Britain Institute?
Oh no, sorry, that's sorry. Community Actions.
Community Partners in Action, yep.
Those are all the ones that received unanimous consent or approval.
Three, they received a three or a four.
Yes, and that total is 415,000.
That total is 415,000. Okay. All right. So then.
Yeah, the ties. I don't know what you want to do about the ties, but yes.
But.
Okay, so 415,000 is over the 310,000 that we had. So, so that means that we would need to cut back. If we were to fund this group that is the higher rated from the committee, we would need to cut back by about, 70,000, Dan?
It's $104,634.
Oh, $104,000?
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, Dan, could you read kind of the finalists off one more time for me?
Yep. So all of our kin.
Yep.
45,000.
Got it. Yeah.
Connecticut Junior Republic at 75,000.
Yep.
Gilead Community Services, yep. 75,000. Intempo organization. Leadership, education, athletics, and partnership.
Intempo, yep. I think, was 70. Is that correct? Intempo was 70.
Yeah, yes, I was 70. Just skipping that because it sounded like Peter had that. You guys had that information. And okay. Then community partners in action.
Okay. And community partners in action is, I'm just looking at the I'm just looking at the numbers. So, yeah. So some of these are, many of these are program grants. Such as, you know, All Our Kin is a program grant, Connecticut Junior Republic is a program grant, Intempo is a program grant, and Gilead is capital, and Community Partners in Action is capital. However, as we did say, they it was two vans that they're coming to us, and LEAP is 75,000, and they are program. So if we were to say cut back on say the organizations that came to us for 70 or 75,000 to say 50,000, we would be close to the number that we need to be at. We also could be looking at that group in yellow, which was what I was referring to earlier, and we potentially could cut back on some of the program grants that are in that group there.
Out of the white group of six, most of them had four votes. If you take the ones that had only three votes and eliminate that, how much are you eliminating?
No, sorry, most of them had three votes.
Most of them were three votes. There was Connecticut Junior was four and LEAP was four.
Okay, that was the opposite.
So, right, okay. So, and again, if you look at in the yellow group, if you look at some of the grants there, they're for program grants of 75, and we could save money by making those 50,000 as well. And then we could be under our limit.
But before we get to that, I'd like just to, and again, this is very subjective. I have my own biases, but you know, when I look at All Our Kin and Connecticut Junior Republic, both terrific organizations, don't get me wrong, but the population served, one of them is 65 people and one of them is 80 people. And if we're looking for biggest bang for the buck, I mean, again, one of my biases is the population served. I don't know how others feel about that, but
you know, I voted for them because they asked last year and didn't get anything either.
I'm sorry?
I put my hand up for those two only because they had applied last year and had not received anything. But I agree with you, Peter. I mean, that if you eliminate those two, you're at your 100,000.
So one of the things about some of these organizations is that the group that you're serving then serves the larger group. In other words, so if you're serving a family child care provider, okay, and then they have 10 children that they watch, you see the multiplier effect. So that, and to your point earlier, Peter, about the numbers and looking at the numbers in a cut and dry way, or looking at the numbers as to, well, what does the, what is the ultimate effect for this particular organization? So I'm just bringing that up because it's not really a cut and dry, okay, you know, type of thing. In some cases it is, you know, so maybe for Connecticut Junior Republic, maybe it is. And something like All Our Kin, it's actually a multiplier effect. It's just for your consideration.
I would be fine with you just reducing the amount of the grants till you get to the number you have, and maybe eliminate, not do that if it's a capital need, unless you can clearly do it, go from two vans to one. You can't put on half a roof, I don't think.
So Susan, I didn't really follow. You're saying reduce all of these to get down to the 300,000?
Well, I think Betty was suggesting even some of those in the yellow could be reduced with their program grants. So instead of giving 75 as they requested, give them 50 or something else. Mm-hmm. So you're giving more, you're still giving them money. And my only caveat was you might want to look at those that are capital to say, okay, if you're asking for two vans, we can give you one van. But if you're asking for a roof, okay, or a bathroom, I don't think you can do it halfway.
Yep, I understand. I didn't realize you were looking at the ones back in the top, the highly rated category. Okay.
I was just bringing that up because that could bring us, you know, because there are grants that we could cut down in this group that we looked at from the white, you know, the unshaded group, but we may not get to that number. I can see, you know, cutting back on some of those and getting to our number if they're, you know, at the higher amount. So if you're asking for 75,000 and you get 50,000, again, it's still a very, very good amount of, it's still a great grant, 50,000. So I was just looking at it from that perspective.
What if we take the yellow and the white and cut down from essentially $10,000 off of all the 70 and above's capital or not. I mean, I just feel like if you're asking for $75,000 in capital and you get 65,000, you'll find the other 10.
I'd say it's easier to do that for the program ones. For the capital ones, it's harder because we have awarded less on capital and it's been very difficult for the organizations to try to come up with the additional dollars. So that's happened a couple of times. We did do that and it was really challenging for them to come up with part of the back.
So let's say we take 10,000 off of everything 70 and above on the yellow and the white threes and fours on with that are programmatic grants. How does that, how close does that?
I think that might do it.
Sorry, where did you get that? Steve, what were you trying to do?
Any programmatic grant in the yellow or the white, we take $10,000 off if the award is at $75,000.
See, this is not just addition and subtraction here, Dan. It's algebra too.
Hey, I didn't know if I signed up for a calculus workout.
I think that brings us to about 70,000 off. So if we were to look at, if we were to look at potentially 20,000, it would definitely bring us there, or potentially 15,000 would bring us there.
I thought we were 104 over. No.
Yeah, 104 over, but we have program grants as well as capital grants. So I was only looking at the group that were program grants.
Right. So you looked at all
the yellow and the white. I'm just talking about the ones that we had rated high on the white.
Yes. Okay. So you took just to be clear. So that's 10,000 off of all program grants, yellow and highly rated white, and we're still about 30,000 short. Over.
Yeah. So, right. So if we were to take 15, let's see,
Well, if the committee is in agreement that we're going to, you know, shave off from a certain number of grants until we can fit within the dollar amount, maybe the vote can just be that management then, you know, whatever the parameters are, you're just stating the parameters, and then management will go back and do the, you know, shave off as much needs to be, rather than doing all the calculations now. That'd be helpful. So we're saying we're going to, between the yellow and the highly rated consensus ones off on, in the white category, we're going to reduce the programmatic grants by, you know, by a dollar amount that will allow us to fit within our $1,008,000. Is that correct?
Yes. Go ahead, Alan.
The only thing I'll add is, you know, there's a grant here that's, you know, $5,000, right? So if it's a specific dollar amount that you shave off, that's not going to work. So I think
everything
you just said, except I'll add, you know, all grants above 50,000, call it, you know, whatever that.
Okay, so for any programmatic grant in excess of $50,000, we will adjust to make it fit within the dollar amount for the yellow, and then the consensus, you know, three or more in the white category.
Can I? Jeanette, do you want me to show my screen? I got the math up. I got $15,000 to play with.
Okay, well, let's just, if everybody's good with this approach, we could just figure it out after how we're going to get that 15.
Great solution.
Because it's already 1:35 and the board meeting's supposed to be starting.
Okay, so you want me to share? Okay.
So just for clarification for the committee, would someone like to make a motion to authorize management and staff to do exactly what we just said? Is there a motion?
I'll make that motion.
All right, Susan, you made it. I'll second it. And the motion is to take the universe of grants, the highly rated, and then the second category, and any programmatic grant above $50,000, we will reduce by a number that gets us to $1,008,000 in the aggregate. Is that correct?
Right. And within the white category, we're only focusing on the ones that got at least three votes of consensus here today.
Correct. Okay. Yeah. All right. Great.
Yeah.
All right.
That would be the motion, and it's been seconded. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Thank you very much. Now, I'm well aware that we have a couple other very important topics on the grant committee agenda, but we're out of time. So I think, Jeanette, you and I you and Betty, we can caucus on how and when to address the next two items on the.
Right. I think we'll have to come up with a plan B on how to get those done. Agreed.
Okay. So with that, so we can move into the full board meeting, I would entertain a motion to adjourn the grant committee meeting, and we can quickly move into the full board meeting. Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Second. Alan second. All those in favor of adjournment, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. We're